KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We're back. We're in the summer hours here at KSU.
So in the summer again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're back.
Back.
No saddles, just the summer.
Yes.
With a summer saddle, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. Sure.
But we were lucky enough to snag our same time slot, so no changes for the fans out there.
It was scary there for a moment.
It was.
Yes.
But thankfully, we don't need to dwell on that.
Yes.
Because we got the good stuff.
We got our normal spot, and we can move forward.
That's right. And speaking of moving forward, by talking about the past, how have you guys been since last we spoke?
Been good. Most exciting thing that we did was go see Force Majeure with the latest show by Eddie Izzard.
Oh, okay.
Here up in San Francisco with some friends. It was a lot of fun.
I don't believe it.
He is a very, very amusing individual.
Okay.
We also had these fantastic burgers over at a spot on over by Union Square called Burger Bar.
Burger Bar.
It's on top of the Macy's, on the Macy's sixth floor. It's not cheap, but it's really, really, really good.
Okay.
You don't feel shortchanged when it comes to the quality of the food that you have just consumed, and they're delicious.
Is it beer battered burgers or?
Not so much, but you can. You either get their like pre built or they customize stuff and.
Oh, okay.
They have all kinds of really good things, like, you know, you can get truffle oil or stuff.
Prosciutto? What about prosciutto?
That was not one of the items I saw.
Oh,
but
man. Okay.
Lots of other good stuff as well.
I demand prosciutto on
Jason's,
my burgers.
Yeah. Jason's chance of going there now.
Bacon
is
so yesterday.
You need hipster bacon.
Right.
Everyone has bacon.
Right.
If
oh, yeah. Or frogwa.
Oh.
Like we said, hipster bacon.
That's wrong.
So, Eddie Izzard, any different as far as style? Still kind of the same sort of.
His style is very much still his own style, but for me, one of the best bits he did was actually describing one of the joke punchlines as it evolved over the course of his shows. He's been touring 27 different countries.
Oh, okay.
And one of the jokes, the punchlines, is in German. And so he's always like, yeah, and that is describing, like, just working on getting the German pronunciation correct.
Uh-huh.
And the better he got at pronouncing it, the less the Germans were laughing at it. And it dawned on him that they were actually trying to logic through an absurd statement and not catching on. And so the absurdity was lost on them.
Oh,
but when he was saying it all wrong, it was funny because he was saying it all wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
But obviously his delivery makes it really come together, because that's where 90% of his comedy is, just in the way he says it. But
especially since he speaks British.
Mm-hmm. the Queen's British, it was good. He was in rare form.
Nice.
The show design was actually kind of cool. It very was like very much a harken back to like the old Avengers TV show, where he came up with a hat and an umbrella, like a secret agent. It was like kind of cool.
Not the Marvel Avengers.
Not the Marvel Avengers, the 1960s Avengers with John Steed and Miss
Steele. Just to clarify for our audience,
yes.
Like, wait, Who did he come out as?
The ones that spoke British, right?
Yes.
British. Okay. All right. Sounds like you had a good, some good times were had. How about yourself, Jason?
I ended up watching like a lot of stuff on different video services.
Okay.
Kind of the big thing that ended up catching me off guard was actually a little show called Rick and Morty.
Yes.
It's only like 10 episodes long, and I guess a new season is coming out like relatively soon. I think like the end of the month or something like that. But yeah, the entire idea of it is just quality for me. I don't know why I'm endlessly intrigued by absolutely horrible people like trying to like inflicting themselves on halfway decent people.
Okay.
But that's definitely another one of those type of shows. It's sort of like an alternate reality if Doc Brown from from Back to the Future was just a self-centered drunk, basically.
Oh, okay.
and was constantly trying to drag his grandchild along with him to all of his adventures. But this time it's like through different realities instead of time and space. So,
which could be argued so space, is the same thing.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really funny in my book.
I've heard good stuff about it.
Yeah. Half of the team is Dan Harmon from Community.
Community, okay.
And so that ends up putting it a little bit farther in my alley to begin with. But the animator that he brought in that is the lead for the show has a fairly dark sense of humor, which comes off pretty good most of the time. Every once in a while, it's just like, oh, dang, okay. We'll roll with that, see where it goes. But yeah, it's thoroughly enjoyable because it'll definitely catch you off guard, if nothing else.
What streaming services is it available on?
They dropped it onto Hulu along with all of the Adult Swim and Cartoon Network, the big chunk of stuff off of them.
Okay.
So yeah, you can watch like the entire first season on a Hulu-like product of your own choice.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if it would end up on something, but it does seem like, I think you'd mentioned it before, Hulu is getting a bunch of the Cartoon Network.
Sounds like they did some sort of exclusive deal with Cartoon Network as far as a much larger chunk of their stock. It sounds like they have practically everything from them, so I don't know if them getting the Cowboy Bebops like earlier in the year was kind of a precursor to that or not, because it does seem like they ended up getting a bunch of that sort of stuff really early on and have been kind of steadily building on adult cartoons ever since.
Hmm. Interesting. How about you, Joe? What have you been up to?
I was waiting for someone to ask. Thank you for asking, Caleb.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's see. I saw Jurassic World.
Okay. And?
This is okay.
I've heard a lot of people say that it's a good movie, but it ruins movies forever. And I don't know what the heck they mean by that.
How do you even follow that?
I wouldn't agree with that at all. Yeah,
I don't know why. I don't know if they were talking about just spectacle or what, but
maybe it's weird. Like, I kind of thought the CG in it was like okay, but not really
lackluster,
like that great. Yeah,
at
like
best.
Their best stuff was when I'm assuming they were using like real puppets or you know whatever.
Right, mm-hmm.
Like those parts,
Muppasaurs
were cool. But when it was just kind of big, like wide shots from distance and stuff, it was just like, yeah, there's a CG dinosaur.
Okay. It's like an episode of Walking with Dinosaurs or something like that.
But I guess,
a little bit better than that.
Yeah, better than that. I mean,
more exciting than that?
Yeah. I think it's like I don't know
with
if
a special
I've
cameo
become
by an actual star.
Yeah. I don't know if I can blame like the Marvel movies now or something, but I've gotten so where like the giant kind of CG spectacle of like giant battles or giant fights like that, like, don't really interest me anymore. Like, that's what like Mad Max was so refreshing. It was just like,
it's a little bit more personal, even though it was giant. It was gigantically personal.
Yeah, it was like,
well, it has a much more humane element to it, it seemed to me.
Humanely, yeah, personally, it was gigantic.
It was just like sort of like Agent, like maybe Age of Ultron or something. It's like, oh, there's a whole bunch of robots, CG robots fighting a CG person. Okay. Like, it, I don't know. It's like, I can imagine like my 12-year-old self, like, oh, that's so awesome. And now I'm just like, eh. I like the,
it's
like, right, littler stuff better.
As soon as you realize
better,
it's not an actor, it takes you out of it.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I like the now more, like, kind of little smaller fights, like, a little more interesting. But, like, I was kind of feeling that with Jurassic World. And, like, none of the, I mean, Chris Pratt's fine. He's good in most stuff he is, but they do like a weird...
Some people would add extra eyes to the fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody... Well, maybe one person here who's not on a microphone.
Anyone on mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do... They have some... I don't know. They do some weird stuff with like some of the characters. Like,
okay.
I'll give you just sort of like an example. It doesn't really spoil anything, but like... Ron Howard's daughter, like, she actually does like something fairly cool and kind of like rescues Chris
Rhonda Pratt. Howard, is it?
I don't know. But like rescues Chris Pratt and like the two little kids who are her nephews.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like a little, like just a few minutes later on after that, they're like, we want to go with him. And you're like, but she like just did something really cool to save him. Like, that joke would have been better if he had just done something really cool. Like, there was just these weird sort of awkward...
Just felt wrong.
Moments. Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't as smooth and consistent as it could have been?
Yeah. It just...
It wasn't, like, refined butter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
there's a name for that, right? Like,
clarified butter?
Yeah. Dahl, is that it?
Dahl? No, Dahl is beans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The group from Borderlands?
I thought it
is spelled the same way, interestingly enough.
Okay.
But yeah, I wonder what they're left like to do. Since I never saw Jurassic Park 3.
Okay.
So like...
That was a mistake in my book, but...
Okay. Well, having seen this one now, like, I'm wondering... Where they sort of go with this like dinosaur thing, because it made a ton of money, but you're like, so what else can they do with like another park, and
they'll breed a nightcrawler like, dinosaur,
bamf bamf bamf,
right? Yeah. It's part velociraptor and part compy, like, because compies can like bamp, right? That's one of the things they do.
Yeah, sort of. Okay. I mean, they're small enough. You think one goes into a hole and the other one pumps out the other side, and you think it's bamped, but it's really just two.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's close enough.
And for the record, the Indian butter is called ghee.
Ghee?
G-H-E-E.
Oh, man. I was totally off on the doll thing.
Yeah. But you were in the right general area.
Speaking of not having to be in the right general area, but still having access to stuff, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. So yeah, I guess, like, if, you know, if someone asked me, so where would you rank it in the Jurassic Parks? I mean, I guess it's, having not seen the third one, I guess it's the second best Jurassic Park, but that's really not saying much, since two is horrible.
It's pretty bad.
And
one
is really good, so
yeah,
it's not really horrible, but it's not really good either, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah, Someone put up a little one of the those picture memes, and it said Bush and Clinton are running for office. Jurassic Park's at the top of the box office. What year is it?
It's very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And has like a Robin Williams from Jumanji, like.
Oh, Jumanji. Okay, for some reason I thought it was the Fisher King, but now Jumanji makes more sense because then he was trapped in time. Yeah. Anyways.
That's true.
I think that's a meme thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure someone's done it on a meme.
But yeah, I think that's like the biggest thing, you know, still continuing to play Witcher 3 and
Okay.
all that stuff. But
still continuing to love it? Or
yeah, still enjoying it. Finally got some armor that actually think he looks pretty cool in instead of like a turned inside out jacket lining or something.
Okay.
It's weird that game, it's like they go for the realism and the clothing and like armor, but it looks kind of stupid. Like, you know, just it's like, hey, that's realistic, but you look like a fool. You're wearing like these green pants and then this crazy top that's totally different colors and everything. And it's like, wow, you look like you are wearing your pajamas. Like you just
he just attacked a clown, took his clothes, and now you're swinging a sword.
I didn't have time to change. I got to go witch.
How dare you poke fun at Polish mythology like that?
But yeah, I finally found something like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's like Witcher gear because there's you can find like sets of Witcher armor. There's like light, medium, and heavy.
Okay.
And you can specialize like your little perks you can invest in.
Mm-hmm.
You can specialize in one. So I went with the light one because that's from the cat school.
Mm. Okay.
These cats are cool. I went with that one.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
I can see that.
Agile, light.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, that's been my time.
Well, since that's not
last
bad
baseball.
At all.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
The Witcher. I'm proud of you as well.
Thank you.
Speaking of people we're proud of, Caleb, our audience, especially when they participate.
That's right. And if you want to make us proud, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are open in the background right now. We will see it, and we will use it to, as part of the conversation. You can affect the show right now. It'll be awesome. Do it.
Do it now.
Unless you're driving, and then wait until you're safely
stopped. Yeah, then don't do it.
And
don't
then
do
it
now.
Or give the phone to your passenger and let them do it.
Or get to the chopper and then do it.
Yeah, maybe if you're flying a chopper.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I was thinking, like, was being given a lift by a chopper.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
chop lifter,
does
sure.
Does Lyft have choppers now?
If they don't, they should.
I think
it seems
it's part
like
of the
a
Uber
natural
Black
fit.
Program.
Oh, Uber. Uh-oh, okay. Watch out, Lyft.
Man.
You should get, Lyft should have it, because then be like the Lyft. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that sounds much more appropriate.
Oh, I will say, though,
yes,
something that was refreshing. I mean, I guess it does kind of harken back to the original Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But with this one, it was nice to have a CEO that was actually, like, not, like, super concerned about, like, we need to raise money or, like actually cared more about, like, the dinosaurs and the people, like, having fun versus, like, we need to make as much money as possible.
So, right.
They're actually invested in the experience as opposed to just raking in cold hard cash kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, they had a character for that, but, but yeah, it was nice to kind of see. And it kind of goes back to Hammond from the original was more concerned about people, you know, like having fun and like, this is a place for everyone, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So that was nice to see like
coupon days. I think that was tossed out around.
So it was nice to see the transfer of ownership to someone similar. So I was like, oh, that's nice. Not the usual, but just, I wanted to throw out something positive since it sounded like I just took a dump all over. The
No, I actually appreciate that a lot. I get tired of that same character popping up in every single movie as like the big bad guy.
We need a
like
villain.
The true villain compared to the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
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 Oh, and I remembered and then I forgot and then I remembered again when I was watching it, but our boy Vincent Onofonofono is in it.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I won't spoil anything with
okay.
it.
Okay.
Let's just say he transforms into a dinosaur.
What? Nice. I know. Well, like full on.
You'll just have to see it to believe it.
Oh mm-hmm. man.
So
speaking of Vincent Onofonofono, that guy. Yeah. We also finished the Daredevil series.
Oh, okay. All right.
Good.
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 Are you excited for season two?
Yes.
Did you hear that the Punisher is going to be in season two?
I hadn't heard that yet, but that's very cool because this would be a good spot for him to show up, I think.
Have you seen Walking Dead or how far have you gotten in that series?
Not any of the AMC Walking Dead?
I haven't seen that much of
it. If you do, the character Shane, that actor is going to be the Punisher.
Okay.
It's a good choice, I think.
Not the sheriff, but the deputy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not Rick. Not sure. But yeah.
Cool. That sounds really cool, actually. I'm actually kind of excited for what they're doing with the whole, like, Hell's Kitchen Marvel story, like, because it's a nice, like, small contained area where it's not like, let's save the universe again. It's like, no, we're just protecting our home turf and, you know, not taking guff from people. It's like, it just seems to work a little bit better, especially for, like, a television, because then you can invest more in, like, the writing and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I still need... No, now that you finished it, I need to sit down and watch it. I keep like, I need to watch that. Oh, let's watch this.
How far are you actually in?
I haven't started it.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, I can sympathize. I've done that with a few years.
I withdraw my pride.
Oh, dang it.
Stop it.
Okay, like 50% of it, I guess.
All right. Yeah. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Take what we can get.
Okay, so if there's nothing else, should we jump into...
New releases.
New releases.
Let's do it.
Then we can take a music break. All right. So, we've got coming out in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park. Oh, wait, no.
Jurassic World 2. They already knew it was going to be a hit, so they had it ready. Now, this one's Max. Not to be confused with Mad Max.
Mm-hmm. Just Max.
Just Max. It's about a precision-trained military dog. Max serves on the front lines in Afghanistan alongside his handler, U.S. Marine Kyle Wincott. But when things go terribly wrong on maneuvers, Kyle is mortally wounded, and Max, traumatized by the loss of his best friend, is unable to remain in service. Shipped stateside, the only human he seems willing to connect with is Kyle's teenage brother, Justin. So Max is adopted by Kyle's family, essentially saving his life. But Justin has issues of his own, such as living up to his father's expectations for him. He isn't interested in taking responsibility for his brother's troubled dog.
Dun, dun, dun.
And if you don't want to see a movie about a dog, but maybe a talking teddy bear, there's Ted, too. Ted fights for his right to be a human being. Then we have Big Game. that was all the synopsis.
He also talks, right?
So, yeah.
So it's more Ted Talks.
Yeah.
But it's not 15 minutes
very
long.
Very clever. Although maybe some wish it was.
Yeah, probably.
We got Big Game. In the rugged countryside of Finland, a young 13-year-old embarks on a traditional quest to prove himself by spending 24 hours alone in the wild, armed with only a bow and arrow. After witnessing a spectacular crash, he discovers the escape pod from Air Force One, containing the President of the United States, played by Samuel L. Jackson. When they realize a group of kidnappers is hot on their trail with the intention of taking the president, this unlikely duo must escape their hunters as they search for the American Special Forces team sent out to find them.
How did I not hear about that?
That's either a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
And finally, we have Escobar, Paradise Lost. In Colombia, an American surfer meets the woman of his dream, and then he meets her uncle, Pablo Escobar, played by Benicio Del Toro.
Ooh. So perhaps you wish to stay a little closer to home and watch some Blu-rays or DVDs.
Maybe.
Here's some you might want to check out. Pound of Flesh on Blu-ray and DVD. The Muscles from Brussels, aka Jean-Claude Van Damme, is on a new mission to save the life of his niece. He travels to South Asia to donate his kidney for transplant, only to find himself victim of
kidney theft.
organ theft. angry, determined, and bleeding, he sets out to find those that took his kidney and save his niece's life.
Kidnapping.
They kidnapped a kidney. Very good. The Forger is also on Blu-ray and DVD.
You got a that expert 50% of pride back just for that.
A master forger is offered his freedom in exchange for an impossible task. Forge Monet and then steal the original and replace it with the fake. Survivor on Blu-ray and DVD. An agent for the Foreign Service is framed as a terrorist, and now she must evade an expert assassin and uncover the truth. Stars Mila Jovovich and Pierce Brosnan. Timbuktu is out on Blu-ray and DVD, and it is a beautiful slice of life film that takes place just outside of Timbuktu.
Hmm. Apropos.
Do you think Tim Burton would ever direct a movie called Timbuktu?
I would not put it past him. But he probably would like change the spelling a little bit and be maybe some weird stop motion things.
Yeah. Okay, we have to figure out how to make Timbuktu more gothic.
Yeah. Can we add more black to the scene?
Okay. Speaking of gothic, in the realm of video games, we have quite possibly the ultimate in gothic, Batman Arkham Knight, releasing tomorrow. It's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Okay, this is going to be a major spoiler for anybody who hasn't done the previous game.
Mm-hmm.
So plug yours for like 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
But
three
it is
seconds.
The actual like story of the entire game.
Yeah.
So it kind of is a big deal. Joker is dead. Gotham has been a quiet place for a while, but now Batman's toughest foes have recovered and banded together to take him to his grave.
Streaming that on Thursday.
Nice.
Okay. Also, in the realm of things that I absolutely love and am looking forward to ultimately,
yeah.
Tales from Borderlands Episode 3.
Woo!
Streaming that on Wednesday.
Coming out on Tuesday, so that'll work. It's coming out for practically everything you can think of: PC, PS3, 4, Xbox One, 360, PS Vita, and iOS. Follow the adventure, hilarity, and tragedy of a simple deal that went very wrong on perhaps the most dangerous planet ever found in games.
Welcome to Pandora.
I know, I can't wait to see, since Jason and I both chose Handsome Jack. I mean, we won't go into detail, not spoil anything.
Right.
And then you chose Fiona. Right?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see like what the difference is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For a pretty decent cliffhanger, best we can tell.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to see if I can pronounce this correctly. I apologize if I butcher it. Tukiden Kiwami is getting a PC release. On this Friday, you can fight demons to your heart's content. It's the second series, but not actually a true sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we have a very interesting kind of title, as far as I can tell, coming out on PC and iOS on Wednesday. It's called Her Story. You uncovered an old computer filled with video footage gathered from police interviews with a woman whose husband has gone missing. Navigate through hours of footage with simple search terms and a keen ear to unravel the story. It's written by the mastermind behind Silent Hill's Shattered Memory, and it sounds unconventional and pretty interesting.
Hmm. It does that.
I think I saw like a screenshot of that.
Yeah, it's not the most visually impressive game, but
What it's going for, like,
it's perfect because it makes it look like an old monitor. Like from the 90s or something like that. And all of the searching is very much like old school. like search terms, like it's an old police computer. It's pretty neat.
Speaking of things that are neat, Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. Your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. And join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
All right. Jumping from video games to comics. From our fine friends at DC, there's a new title called We Are Robin. the teen populace of Gotham have banded together, taking the iconic R as their own. Now many are Robin.
That sounds very unsafe and kind of awesome.
I know, right? Over at Marvel, it's X-Men 92, number one. And that's 92 as in like 1992. Oh, so okay. If you're trying to figure out, I was like confused and I looked at the cover. I'm like, oh, okay. In this issue, the Clear Mountain Project is charged with quote unquote mutant rehabilitation. Naturally, the X-Men must investigate. And over at Dark Horse, it's Fight Club. Fight Club 2, number 2.
Oh. Okay.
Time has passed since, and Sebastian, the narrator of the original Fight Club story, has a seemingly normal life in the suburbs. But Tyler Durden will not be restrained, and he's been sneaking out. Life is about to get abnormal again.
Did I hear right that the artist for that is Babs from the Batgirl comic series?
I thought she was included
on the project somehow, but
The nearest I can tell, the artist is a guy, but I have to verify that again.
Maybe covers or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Maybe doing covers.
We can check during the music break.
Yeah, we'll check.
Or if someone out there knows and wants to tweet us, or
Please do. If you prefer something from Image, you can always check out Southern Cross number 4. Braith uncovers a smuggling ring that links back to her sister's murder. And then from IDW, it's Gem and the Holograms, number 4. The rising star of Gem and the Holograms is catching even more speed, but the fans and the misfits have plans to bring them back down to Earth.
Yeah. Bring them back down.
To Earth. Or something like it.
And that's a perfect segue from Gem to some new music.
Hey.
So we've got Get to Heaven by Everything Everything. It's the third full-length release for the British art rock band. Was produced by Stuart Price. We've got Pageant Material by Casey Musgraves. The follow-up to the country singer's Grammy-winning major label debut release was co-produced with Luke Laird and Shane McAnally. We've got Coming Home by Leon Bridges. This is the debut full-length release for the Texas soul singer. It was recorded live to tape with White Denim's Josh Block and Austin Jenkins. There's My Love Is Cool by Wolf Alice. It's a debut full-length release for the British alternative rock band. It was produced by Mike Crossey. Does that ring a bell?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. And finally, we have Feels Like by Bully. It's the debut full-length release for the Nashville alternative rock band led by Alicia Bognano. Features re-recorded some tracks from its self-titled 2014 EP. All right. So there was a handful of some new releases.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm sure there's something in there that will entertain you for many days to come until we give you more new releases.
That's right.
Until next week.
Yeah.
When so there will be yet more.
And more, and then you'll just more. Pile and pile on of things you have to do, and there's just not enough time. And
right, and then you'll have to make choices, and you'll regret some
you'll
of your
regret
choices.
Those choices. Oh, yes. But you can't blame us.
And then you'll make new choices.
And regret will lead to suffering.
Oh, no.
And that leads to the dark side.
Not the dark side, no. Although they have some cool people on the dark side, so maybe, you know.
And possibly cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark side cookies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to take a music break, and then we will come back with more Robots Attack, because this is going to be our special E3 episode.
Woo,
E3! E3 happened last week. You know, they're probably like, that was last week. Why didn't you talk about it then? Well, it kind of happened like as our show was going, so a lot of stuff happened. Like, we wouldn't really be able to go over it.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're not sick of E3, because I know you're not, because you've been waiting for us to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you can check it out anywhere else, but you were waiting for our opinion on other people's opinions of the opinion of the people's at the E3s. Yeah.
Ah!
So, yes, after the music break, we'll be back with E3 talk. But Caleb, let's tell them how they can participate with their E3 knowledge and opinions.
That's right. If you have thoughts about E3, you can hit us up at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. And if you like a little bit old school, robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
That's right.
And now
for
some music.
More music now.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We are now going to talk about some E3.
That's right.
I know you're thinking, well, that happened last week. Well, we're getting to it this week.
It takes time sometimes to get the good information out of something.
Because a lot of stuff drops like all throughout the week.
Yeah,
so,
that is true.
You know, I don't know if we'll end up hitting any of that stuff that drops, but you know, it
you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, and to me, the interesting thing too is finding out about the stuff that people from the show floor end up talking about later.
Yeah.
Like kind of the insider view of where all of these different games actually stand. I think that's the interesting stuff to me.
Yeah, because you have, you know, early at the beginning, you have all the press conferences or,
right.
or your
And
directs.
That's going to be the shiniest pictures that they can possibly give you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the press and everyone else gets a chance right. to actually go and either
they get the seamier side of the game.
Sees behind yeah. closed doors kind of stuff. And so, and then there's tons of stuff, too, that they don't even have in the press conferences that's like, oh, they never talked about this game, but it's here
that's
to
true.
Play. So
yeah.
Right, right.
No. But I think... Caleb, we're going to start off with Nintendo.
Right. Yeah, I'd say start off with Nintendo. It's going to be a relatively short statement because Nintendo didn't...
So Nintendo won E3, right? That's
oh,
what
man.
I'm hearing.
They won
it.
They won with the creepy puppets alone.
Wait, creepy? I thought that everybody's saying they're adorable.
I thought they were creepy as hell,
I haven't seen them.
I didn't watch it, and then I kept hearing about these puppets, and I saw, like, screenshots, and it's like, okay, I'll go and check this out. I watch it, and, like, these are creepy looking, man. They, like, transform into Star Fox characters, and only Nintendo could pull this off, but now, here's the caveat, though, like, I'm not super duper Nintendo guy, so maybe if I had, like, more of a connection with the big three, like, you know, maybe it would have... penetrated my heart a little bit more.
I have to admit, I was wrong. I did see one shot of them like walking down a hallway together or something like that, and just the way that they were swinging their arms around was adorable to me.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't find that creepy at all, but I was concentrating on their arms. So
okay.
in Muppet Land, the arms are the least creepy part.
To someone's creepy is someone's non-creepy or...
That's true.
Charming.
Yeah.
Someone
charming.
Else is
there
charming.
There you go. There's a better
right.
C.
I wouldn't go as C. far as charming. I mean,
well,
maybe that's Caleb's thing, but...
I personally thought that the
were you charmed?
Were, I thought they were pretty impressive. Like, I'm like, wow, that's a really good likeness of those guys as a puppet.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. That was what was wrong with them.
they were Henson, right?
I think so.
Yeah, actually created for something completely different a long time ago, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely not knocking, like, they are good puppets. Yeah. I just thought they were really super creepy.
Fair enough. In terms of what they actually talked about, they didn't talk about much. They did show off the new Star Fox Zero, which looks kind of cool, although I am a little bit mystified by the control scheme. Because you have the big screen.
Tell us about it.
The main game is up on the big screen.
It's impossible to talk about it without hitting your microphone.
A little bit. And then the of course, the Wii U has that tablet view, the tablet thing, the controller.
Yes.
And when you lift that up to in front of you, it's like looking through the canopy, like as a...
It's like the HUD.
Yeah, it's like the HUD, but it's like... So from like that view, you can actually like work some of the different weapons and stuff. But you still will move around the world using the controls on the sides of the screen.
Okay.
So it's like I can kind of see where they're going, but at the same time, like I'm trying to figure out how that actually is going to work as like an enjoyable game experience.
It's like faux VR.
Yeah, it's kind of more of a like augmented reality kind of thing, which it could be really cool. I'm not sure if this was quite the right place to show that off, so to speak.
Okay.
But. It looks nice to see Star Fox on the big screen again, so to speak. There's a new Paper Mario, which actually mixes up Paper Mario with regular Mario. So there's 2D and 3D Mario at the same time.
I heard a lot of excitement over that one.
Was this the one with Mario and Luigi, or is that a different game?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I can't remember the actual title of it now, but it looks actually pretty cool because that's one of the few things that they talked about. There was a lot of DS games. That's effectively where most of the money is being made right now.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame them for putting more in there. There's a new Metroid game and there's a Zelda game where you have three characters at once. Same with the Metroid game, actually. Mm-hmm. Although Samus is not in the Metroid game, just to be clear. Yeah.
Other random dudes in suits.
Random people in suits, who knows?
Looked like dudes to me. They had a lot of upper body strength, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And just like scads of other 3DS stuff, some of which they didn't even bother to translate. So I'm thinking that was not intended for the American market. Very little was said about the Wii U. They talked about some new Amiibos, which includes Bowser and Donkey Kong.
Oh, the Amiibos?
Yeah, Amiibos, that's what I meant. And...
I'm surprised they weren't like Weebos or something like that.
Yeah. they did tease that there will be talk more about their next system about next year.
Yeah, I heard they weren't really going to talk about that. This one.
NX for now, right?
Yeah, I think it's called the NX. That's its code name, at least.
Yeah. Code name.
The Wii Us. That's going to be the next one.
They also talked about the Mario Maker. Game, that, for lack of a better phrase. It looks really cool. But
that seemed to be the big one that I kept hearing about from other podcasts and people. Like, that was the one that everyone really liked.
It's like effectively you mash up Minecraft with Mario and you get this. It's a Mario game editor. And so there you go.
Yeah, the weird thing to me was it seemed almost like nobody had come across the idea before or something like that when... Like Little Big Planet has existed for a long time now, and it started out as more or less that. So that's why it ends up feeling a little bit odd to me, except that it's actual Mario stuff now. So
I think that's what I forget which podcast it was. It might have been Giant Bomb, but someone had mentioned on that too. It's like they mentioned like, oh, you know, there's Little Big Planet, there's Project Spark. There's all these ones where you create your own game. So it's like, why is this one so special? And they're like, well, it's such like a familiar setting and it's so simple enough where like the mechanics were, because they kind of mentioned like with Little Big Planet, it never really like worked as well as you'd hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
And from what it sounds like, this is working as well. As you hope it would, and it just being kind of like a simpler style and it being Mario, and a lot of people love Mario and have attachments to that. It's a better sell.
An easier sell.
Yeah.
And for games, when you remove the third dimension, it actually makes it a lot easier for people to kind of like grok what they're doing in terms of like putting stuff exactly where they want to. Like, as one of the things that I struggled with in Project Spark was getting things to go where I wanted them to go. Not that it was impossible, it was a little bit extra harder than it needed to be at times. And so,
yeah,
it was one of the things that it's almost like it was really designed for this kind of inspiration. You have the entire Mario 2D, all the 2D Mario sprite sheets to work with. So everything from original up to Super Mario. And I think it's one of the Yoshi games too. So lots of stuff to work with.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see like how much people actually build. Because that's kind of, if no one really makes anything, the game... those games live and breathe off of that. So
yeah, I'm sure there will be plenty of building going on that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see the exact amount, whether it ends up infecting more people with the building.
And to their credit, no one expected the like drawing app on the tablet of the Wii U to be like a big thing, but it became like a huge part of like when it launched, like what people were doing with making art on the tablet. Oh, okay.
I feel bad. Like one of the games that came out this week that I didn't report on was actually a big, like an artist thing.
Mm.
So. Yeah.
like we mentioned, we grab a handful of stuff.
Yeah, right. You can only grab some. Then, like, just to put the last on there, there was a new Yoshi's Yarn game, which is in very similar style to Kirby's Epic Yarn, but it's Yoshi and it looks freaking adorable. And then the Xenogears game actually looked kind of cool too.
Okay.
It looked a little bit like Monster Hunter smashed with Xenogears, which is kind of rad.
Is that the like new 3DS exclusive? There's one that's like only works on the new 3DS that like just came out, but
I don't know for sure. Okay. It didn't say in the You're thing fired. That I watched.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You're supposed to know everything about Nintendo.
Right. You didn't pay attention to the company that won E3?
Man, you're fired again. No, wait, you're hired, then you're fired again.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Want to do it again?
Just for effect.
Yeah. So,
speaking of things for effect, one of our intrepid listeners chimed in and said they love Nintendo, but a lot of what they're doing banks on nostalgia, which is kind of... Mixed feelings there.
That's the big thing right now, though. Everybody loves the nostalgia.
It seemed like almost all of the presentations like had a fair amount of that involved with what they were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it works for them, so so keep doing it until
it
doesn't. But so what I was just gonna ask, out of all the stuff, what was the
game of the year? Game of the E3 for Nintendo, and it'll go up against the other ones that we choose.
Well, I was just going to say, what was your favorite thing out of that? But I guess that could mean your game of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the Xenogears look kind of interesting. It looked like they actually were kind of pushing what the Wii U could do as a game console, like visually. That was another one that...
But we're not... Sure if that's the 3DS one, though? Or?
Yeah, I'm not positive. I think it looked a little bit like graphically more intense than what I've seen come out of most of the 3DSs. Not that it's
This is the new 3DS that just came
out. Yeah, it still looked...
More powerful.
It still looked like it was a step up from what I've seen on any 3DS to date. I'm not positive about whether it's the new, but...
All right.
It looked kind of cool, and it seemed like it was... pushing whatever platform it was on, it was pushing its technology pretty good. It looked like, and it seemed like it actually had a style, which I thought was kind of nice. And it seemed like that's one things where Nintendo does better visually is when they go for a style and they just like hit all the notes there. Yeah,
they've recognized and are not trying to compete graphically with the other two. They're like,
yeah,
this is what we do. Art direction, we can nail that.
Yeah, right? They have that in spades.
Yeah. Speaking of. Having something in spades?
Yes, we have the Silicon Valley Jewish Music Festival. So Jewish music in spades.
There you go.
Okay, that works.
In a festival of spades.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
come and celebrate with the Jewish community as we welcome back the Silicon Valley Jewish Music Festival for its fourth year. This is the South Bay's biggest outdoor Jewish cultural festival. You don't have to be Jewish to participate. Thankfully. Thank you.
There you go.
Inclusive. The festival will be held on June 28th from 2 to 7 p.m. at the Addison Pinzak Jewish Community Center at 14855 Oka Road in Los Gatos, California. There will also be a wide selection of food, kosher available, innovative artisan vendors, and community activity booths with entertainment for the whole family.
Ooh.
Activities will include tie-dye, face painting, carnival games, and more. Children under 18 and college students with a valid college ID are admitted for free.
Wow.
For other ticket prices and more event info, visit www.silicon.valley.jcc.org/music.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Free is always good.
Yeah. It's a bonus.
Mm-hmm. And a cultural experience on top of that. Like, awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. It's like cultural face painting.
Double whammy right there of awesomeness.
That's more than your normal amount of whammies. At least twice as many.
You can double. When you go, you tell them, hey, the guys at Robot Attack said I get double whammy here.
If two people go, it's a quad whammy.
Quad, whoa, all right. All for
anyway,
free.
Winning.
So, since
speaking of winning,
right.
Nintendo, right?
Okay, I was, of course, joking a little bit as far as the Nintendo winning E3, since it sounds like a lot of people were generally disappointed that they didn't have more stuff. But on to the contenders for E3,
yeah,
for the winning.
These are the heavyweights.
Yeah.
Right.
And just to clarify, just ahead of time, just so people are like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. The real answer to winning E3 is gamers.
Right.
It always should be gamers. It always will be gamers.
Right.
That's what it should be. Like,
yeah.
Hear, hear.
So.
Yeah.
Just
that's
so,
altruistic, you know, and good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just so people are like, oh, well, those guys are just so blah, blah, blah camp or, you know, blah.
Well, that's
we have
true.
Our preferences
yes,
and our biases,
we
but
do,
we're not.
And we do. And we do. We say them. I definitely
often,
consider myself Xbox fanboy, but get that out there. Just like that's what
that's
I appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I appreciate about the Kind of Funny guys.
That's
when
true.
I was listening to them, you know, they were like, you know, Greg Miller and Colin Moriarty, they're like, you know, we're definitely more Sony guys, but they did a good job of looking at all of them, you know,
right.
And, you know, fair and balanced, you know.
Right.
Even though most people recognize them as all Sony guys, but they're still, you know.
Yeah, it's possible we'll have a bias, but still be able
yeah,
to
as long as you're
look
up,
at things objectively.
Yeah, and I think as long as you're upfront about it, like, hey, yeah. I lean more towards this, but, you know.
As long as you're still watching the entire show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So anyway, since we were talking about the nostalgia fix, it seems apropos to jump into the PlayStation realm.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Not that there's any nostalgia in the Microsoft realm at all.
Yeah.
With like a straight up roster of sequels. But
yeah, but yeah, the Sony one was definitely
a little bit farther back in the nostalgia realm.
It's big guns were definitely leaning on the nostalgia train.
Yeah. I mean, the one of the sort of meme pictures I saw come out of this was someone took an image of an Xbox and then thrust a Buster sword through it and as if to say, this was the winner. And I was like, yeah, the Final Fantasy thing was really cool.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII is a very good game.
Which is coming to Xbox One.
Yeah.
Also. So.
And it was.
Right. Win.
And it's totally awesome that they're getting it first. That's great for Sony.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about a game from 1997.
Oh, dig.
On the PS1.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Which we probably won't see anything for about 5 years.
Yeah,
like, right.
They,
yeah,
they didn't have a release date anywhere in that trailer.
Yeah, that was the other thing, too. Like, the best that they did for all of the Nostalgia Fest items was that it was coming out in 2016. And I think that was, which one was that that they actually said?
Last Guardian.
Mm-hmm. And all of the rest of them were like, well, okay, we're working on it type of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, with Last Guardian's history, who knows if it'll actually end up being 2016.
Okay,
so.
Quick question. Like, Last Guardian, like, I was completely mystified by that. I'm like, what is this? Where did that come from?
It's
a series of games by that director. This Ico is the last of
and
them.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay, like, it reminded me of Ico. And
it's from that, you know,
that universe.
That group.
Okay.
Of makers. And so it's, you know, been. Those games are held. Personally, I've never played any of them, but they've been held in high regard.
Yeah, they're very critically acclaimed. So,
so Last Guardian was kind of the next one, and it just kept getting like delayed and delayed.
The only thing that I've heard that sounds really interesting to me about the way that they make their games is that it sounds like they put a lot more emphasis on not outright telling a story, like implying a story around all of the actions that end up happening. And that sounds pretty interesting to me.
Mm. Yeah. It's one of the things that, like, the game, I'm sure, will be very good, but watching that as the intro was a little dry.
Yeah, I would agree. If you don't know any of the history behind it, I mean, it's like, the dog bird thing looks cute. Yeah, looks neat.
He's friendly.
But yeah, if you don't really know, like, the history attached to it or the nostalgia attached to it, it's like, what is this? Like, why are you opening with this? Like,
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure it was big. And I fully accept that I was biased against it because I just had no idea. Because I only, like, when the first rolled out, I'm like, oh, it looks kind of like Ico. Is this, like, the spiritual successor to Ico? And it turns out it is. Because it's the...
No, it's the outright successor, sir.
Whatever.
There's no spirit in it whatsoever.
Wait, what?
I was watching the Sony thing going, okay, this... I mean, this is interesting, but it doesn't have a point. And then I'm sure they were just showing off that it was the game was kind of big and cool. I was just trying to figure out what was so impressive. Because
for a long
this.
Time, everyone's like, we haven't heard anything for quite a while. Yeah. So everyone's like, oh, is it canceled? And then they'd keep getting asked, like, so was Last Guardian canceled? Like, no, we're still working on it, but you know, nothing would ever be shown.
So here's the evidence.
Gotcha. I think they just spent the last couple of years just working on those feathers. I think that's what they've been doing.
Possible.
Because that was quite the hairdo right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And functional, too. And the kid was climbing the feathers.
Yeah.
Last Guardian isn't probably our best topic to speak of for this group here, since none of us are super familiar with it. But Final Fantasy VII, I'm sure at least you have a little bit more attachment to, Joe. So
yeah.
And did you ever end up playing much of it yourself?
Not much. I played a little bit, but like I kind of like skimmed off the edge of it. Like, I knew about it, but I didn't have a PlayStation at the time, and so by the time I got one, it was so late that I just didn't get back to playing that one.
Yeah, and that's been a lot of the debate kind of spiraling around this game, is that since we have no idea what direction they're taking other than that they've admitted that there's supposed to be some sorts of improvements, and they haven't been really clear on how they mean the improvements. A lot of people are hoping they mean that they're going to change the gameplay around to a more modern style of gameplay, which would kind of automatically change a lot of the art style also. So yeah, that sounds like it has a lot more potential, and it's also been a big question whether it's going to be weighing more towards trying to just make people happy that they have that exact same experience as they first had, like, way back when, except with a little bit nicer graphics, or if it's trying to pull in new people and introduce a whole new generation happily to the, instead of like grabbing them by the shirt collar and saying, you will enjoy this type of thing. And I can't imagine them being terrible successful doing that personally. So to me, it seems like they have to update it quite a bit from a lot of different angles in order to make it into something that would draw a larger audience. But
yeah, I'd heard someone's sort of theory on it too, was that like it might even be like a Final Fantasy 7-2. Like kind of
follow up.
Yeah, like the sort of sequel to the original. Like they were kind of citing the way like the trailer is, or you know, the thing that they showed. Like they kind of gave some examples of like, oh, it might be going in that direction, but
I guess I can kind of see
it. It's just,
like, all I know about the plot points for that is that I was a big fan of the Advent Children, like, video. And I tried to get into the game personally, like, way back when, but it was too late because I was already, like, one generation too far in the video game consoles.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't happening. And to me, it's a lost cause to just try and make it what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it just so much has been kind of piled onto that game, like the original game, that it's, you know, rose-colored glasses of just like, we went back and played it now, it's probably really not that great of a game, but at the time it was the first introduction for a lot of people to a Final Fantasy or like that kind of big style, so it holds a special yeah. place for people.
Well, and something that was also pointed out was it was the first time that it was departure from actual fantasy. It was the first time they added kind of a cyberpunk angle to it, even though they didn't apparently stick to it through most of the game. It was the first time they had that flavor at all.
Like an act, like they had like cities with like cars and buses and as well as the chocobos and stuff.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. So yeah, I can see that having like a creating more of a reaction to people, especially in more of a modern culture type of thing. Especially since they almost immediately started going back to more fantastical types of stuff. It seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
I'm just worried because like they're still working on Final Fantasy 15, which it was Final Fantasy Versus, which then got turned right. into 15, and then they like introduced another new Final Fantasy, like World of Final Fantasy,
right?
Yeah,
and we're still working on Kingdom Hearts 3, so it's like, I mean. This is cool and all, but like I've mentioned before several times, it's like, okay, get back to me in 5 years when maybe this is out. And
like, yeah, yeah. I thought it was interesting too. I saw something on Facebook actually that somebody had written a list of all of the Final Fantasy VII related properties that have come out, whether they were video games or animated things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sat that right next to all of the properties that are like core Final Fantasy things other than 7.
Uh-huh.
The list is a pretty good chunk longer for Final Fantasy 7 related things than outright like regular core Final Fantasy. So the other side of it is implied by that we've already explored this territory pretty well, like backwards and forwards. So
I don't know. It
yeah.
You can tell where they're going and why they did it, but at the same time, it's like, do we really need this one again?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, that came out almost immediately was, I forget the name of the director for the, or kind of the head of Final Fantasy mm-hmm. in its infinite incarnations, but he was saying that he wanted to, of course, end up releasing the previous two games that haven't been released in a redo also. Because every other game up to five and six haven't had a re-release. And those are the only ones that haven't had a re-release.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so he felt like they needed to do those originally before they do 7. But I guess the push was too great to get 7 out.
Yeah.
Well, having now that we've flogged their dead horse a little bit longer.
Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be pro here for just a second. Since I was a big Final Fantasy Advent Children person,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see it done in that style. And that's a big deal to me.
Yeah, it looked really pretty.
Yeah. The kind of downside about that, unfortunately, is that Cloud is still the main character, and he's still kind of a whiny little nobody, even though he does cool stuff with swords every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's like, whine a lot, juggle swords really cool, then whine a little bit more.
Yeah. It's just tough. It's like, I definitely agree. It'll be cool to see whatever does come of it. It's just the Final Fantasy like property is just so like it's like
you can do literally anything you want to do.
We're working on this. Oh, why are you telling me now? Because it's not going to be ready in a year.
Yeah, that's true.
Two, probably.
Yeah, and that would seem to be a bigger theme to PlayStation's conference in general was that they were. Talking about farther down the line on almost all of the stuff.
They had to. They don't have anything this year, first party. That's why. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact as far as like that was their
plan.
They
haven't said anything.
But if you look at their first parties, they don't really have anything coming out this year. So they have to bank on like the future.
They're leaning pretty heavy on Destiny, which makes me angry because it means that, again, I'm going to get shafted out of DLC for an entire year.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they're
that's the way things roll, so.
Yeah.
They're focusing on the third-party stuff to make up for not having an Uncharted, not having any of their real, like, first-party stuff this year. It's like, we're going to have some stuff coming in the next couple years, but here's some stuff to distract you, you know, because we don't have anything to show you yet, so.
At least, in, like, popular American releases. They have Japanese stuff, like, coming out their ears for actual Japan.
To round it up with their big stuff from them was the Shenmue 3 Kickstarter. I never played 1 or 2. Did any of you guys ever play? I know this was another one of those things like the Final Fantasy 7 like remake that like finished the Shenmue series.
Yeah, and it's funny too because I was a huge Dreamcast fan, and that's like the one game that I didn't really get into at all.
Oh, okay.
And so it was one of those that I wanted to try out but never really got to because I was too preoccupied with obscure little fighting games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rival Schools and all them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is really interesting having Sony kind of have other people foot the bill for one of their games, effectively.
Yeah. And then coming out later and saying, "Oh, well, we are backing it." Like,
right.
Yeah, I thought that was that struck me as just a weird tone. I shouldn't say tone deaf or off tone, just sort of like discordant. I was like, "What's going on with this?"
Yeah, I guarantee you, if Microsoft had done that, there would be like riots from the games media. I'd be like, "What? You guys are rich. You should have just like paid for everything and just made the game."
Yeah,
but Sony can do it, and
right.
Yeah,
we love you, Sony.
As has been said by another podcast that I listen to frequently, Sony is your friend. Sony is always going to be good to you. It's always going to be there, like to pat you in the back.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Speaking of patting yourself on the back, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. Now, before we move on from Sony, something else that was interesting too was that Call of Duty, the DLC landing first will now appear on the PlayStation.
Yeah, those...
And that's either a really big deal or it means that Call of Duty is officially dead.
Wow.
I mean, I hate to say it because I love the Black Ops series so much, but it is a possibility. I'm wondering if Microsoft just outright said, and it sounds right up the line as far as things that I've heard from Phil Spencer before, is that, you know, I would much rather just put the money into our own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, it's just too much money for something that's getting smaller and smaller numbers every year. I mean, somebody pointed out that they, for the first time in any of those games, they took the number off of the online players in Advanced Warfare.
Oh, interesting.
So you have no idea how many people are online anymore. And every other game up until then has had it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I wonder if there's a certain amount of just burnout of the Call of Duty series because, like, they've been releasing, like, quote-unquote major releases, like, pretty much every single year.
Yeah, every year there's a new one.
Not to be hard on them for doing that. It made them a lot of money, just like, it will eventually start to wear out people's enjoyment of the thing if you keep trying to hit them with the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they have 3 different developers now, 3 different styles, 3 different ways of doing things, but it's all kind of, if all still sort of tastes like COD, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. You still
taste like fish sticks.
Exactly.
Okay. And I cannot let Sony pass without giving them a major shout out for this. I always forget like the last couple words that they pin onto it, but Horizon.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that looks Zero really, Dawn. That
Horizon
looks
Zero
really
Dawn.
Good.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's right up my alley because it's so weird, just as far as an entire idea.
Oh yeah.
That it's awesome.
Yeah, it starts out and you're like, wait, what is this?
What
okay,
the heck is happening here?
Sort of open world thing, and then whoa.
Then you like, see mecha giraffes, yeah. And it's like
I was thinking okay. Mecha brachiosaurus, but okay. Giraffes also.
I'm sticking with giraffes just because it's more upright, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway. But yeah, it definitely looks like one of the most creative things that I've seen come out of any video game company in a very long time. And obviously we still don't know when the heck it's going to actually come out. It's yeah. still a blue sky kind of release for PlayStation at this point, but it's one thing that I did think was interesting. They had Colin Moriarty from Kinda Funny. He mm-hmm. actually went in and did the behind the scenes viewing it, and it sounds like it's still in like a really rough shape as far as being playable. It sounds like what they showed at E3 was actually. I mean, they made it look like gameplay, but it was a cinematic based on gameplay.
Yeah.
And so
it tends to happen.
A scripted gameplay.
Right. Well, it sounded like more than that. It sounded like they outright don't have their shaders and textures pinned down so that they work reliably and so on. But it sounds like the gameplay and mechanics of it, they have pinned down really well.
Okay.
And
that
sounds
good.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, from what I could tell from the demo, of course, it's just a demo, but it looked like that was pretty well put together. Like the world was looked like it was still in flux, but yeah, like taking out giant robots with a bow and arrow looked really, really cool.
Yeah,
what they were... I guess what they went farther into for the behind-the-scenes things was saying that it is a completely open-world experience. Like, there's not even loading screens between different sort of arena areas.
Nice.
It actually does gradual loading through everything. So every mountaintop that you see, if it's possible to get there, you can get there. And
nice.
Anything that you can figure out to do with the assortment of things that you can build over the course of the game, you can completely do to set up your own situations. And the for instance was that I guess those line guns that she was using for tackling the T-Rex looking thing.
Yeah.
You can apparently set them up to attach them to explosives.
Oh, okay.
And make them into like giant trip lines. So she did kind of the classic Indian thing of like spooking a crowd of buffalo and having them run towards something, towards their death, basically.
Okay.
You can set up situations like that. And it's all supposed to be completely open depending on what your style of gameplay is.
Oh, nice.
So that sounded really interesting to me.
Yeah, that was like I think one of the things that really stood out to me also in their presentation was like, wow, that looks like it's actually showing off one, modern systems, two, what they can do when you push technology plus server technology into the thing. I was actually really impressed with that one.
Yeah, I can imagine because it's the guys who make Killzone are like,
yeah,
can we make something else besides Killzone?
Right. Yeah. Well, okay, then they got into that also. Apparently. I forget what game they were talking about, but some other game had a whole bunch of fanfare over how the studio split in half at Sony and ended up starting working on two different games. I think it was Naughty Dog. How they were talking about they split it to have one group of Naughty Dog working for Last of Us and one of them working for Uncharted.
Oh, interesting.
And so it effectively ended up becoming like two separate companies at the same location, I guess.
Mm.
They apparently kept it completely quiet that they did the same thing with Guerrilla Games 4 years ago.
Oh,
so this game is actually 4 years into its development cycle.
Explains why it looks so polished.
Yeah.
In terms of gameplay, at least.
But yeah, it's just nobody knew because they kept it really quiet.
Mm. That's cool. Yeah.
It's kind of smart, too. It's like, yeah, we're working on this. We're not talking about it. No one knows about it except for the internal groups. And
which kind of says a little bit about their desperation for this E3 if they're I mean, it's obviously not ready, and they are talking about it. So,
yeah,
when they've kept it really secret up until now.
Yeah. If you're seeing how it all plays out, because like almost all the Sony stuff was like either nostalgic or very far-reaching, like ambitious. Like Dreams was also pretty ambitious, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't.
That game looks really weird.
Yeah.
That company is like, you know, they make Little Big Planet and all stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they have like some really cool ideas. Yeah. I just sort of feel bad for them. Like it doesn't seem like they ever hit as far as, you know, like we have these really cool like ideas and concepts. Come and try them out. And it doesn't seem like enough people really do. Mm-hmm. Like,
but they do win awards. So, I mean, that's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah.
they're almost like a game developer for game developers. Like, everyone else knows, like, wow, that's really cool. And the players kind of go,
Yeah. They're the art house guys. Yeah,
mm-hmm. They don't really not care, but they're not like super into it either.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did make a mascot for Sony, and they did make three Little Big Planets. So, true.
Yeah.
It must have sold well enough.
Yeah, they're doing just fine, but yeah.
And Media Molecule, I think. Anything else from the, I'm trying to remember.
No.
The Project Morpheus idea was kind of neat, just kind of like where they're going.
No, that was horrible.
it's an interesting idea. The one thing I thought was weird was the one person plays with the headset on, everyone else plays with the TV screen all in the same room. Like, not that that's wrong, just that, like, how is that going? What's that going to look like? That just seemed a little odd. Not wrong, just like I'm not entirely certain what does that mean?
VR is hard.
Yeah,
for these
it really
things,
is. That's the only thing. It's like I'm kind of talked down about it just because there is no way to present it. And like I have no idea. I don't see any value to VR at all just because I've never experienced it. And I know everybody who has ends up being like instant convert. And so because most people are like me and haven't experienced it, I feel like I have a little bit more of an edge on that than most of the developers out there who are like really gung-ho about it, is that you still need to get people into those masks. Mm-hmm. In order to get them to be believers, so
yeah, that's gonna be the biggest stumbling block.
Because you can't do a video presentation saying, "Look how awesome this is," when it's just a dude looking silly.
Yeah. I'm having fun.
And that's where I think we can lean into Microsoft. Where I think the HoloLens, AR was easier.
That's much easier to sell.
Exactly. And it makes me wonder if that's part of the reason why Microsoft has been leaning so heavily on that tech to begin with, because they realize it's inherently easier to show people.
Yeah.
It can also expand their other technology that they've been working on in general, because it's like they don't need to like seal you off in the world. They're just going to expand the world that you see.
Yeah. Well, plus, like, I mean, I think it's smart. They're teaming up with Oculus and Valve. So it's like, hey,
still
you guys.
Still pretty sketchy what those team up actually are. But yeah.
But it's like, hey, you guys are like, you work on the tech. Like, you know, you make the device.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We attach our name sort of to it. Like, that's, I don't know, like, that's genius to me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, they've written, like, Oculus has already been working on their stuff for a few years now. Like, refining it to what it is today, and they came up with a pretty genius way of like making it work with the Oculus by streaming the game through a Windows 10 device, probably a high-end PC, because that's what Oculus needs to actually run. But
and that's the other thing that I thought was interesting too, is that this E3, it felt like Microsoft was much more willing to openly admit that Windows is a big gaming platform, and that PCs actually are the good way to go for a lot of people, and that they're developing for those people, and that they have stuff to be excited about for those people.
Yeah.
It's a direction that I don't feel like they've went in a long time, just because they've been afraid to steal from their own numbers for their consoles.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that point, on I think it was a Giant Bomb podcast, they had Phil Spencer on, and okay. he said, nice. Like, yeah, a lot of people will probably get mad or kind of look at it of like, you know, like, oh, this isn't going to be an Xbox exclusive or something like get it. And he's like, I right. don't, he's like, personally, like for me, I don't believe in segregating those things, like keeping okay. people away. He's like, I want more options for people to have access to these things. Mm-hmm. Like he sees that as like a better idea than just like keeping something on just like the Xbox. You know, like,
well, it seemed like this is one of the few times that they actually like said you can play this game with your PC friends and your Xbox friends. Like there, right. there was several games where they like said the divide is arbitrary. There really isn't.
Yeah,
one.
Fable Legends was the big one that they were kind of pushing as like there's no divisions whatsoever in that game that you can play cross everything.
Mm-hmm. If, yeah. if it runs Windows 10, you can play it, and that's going to include the Xbox. It will be getting Windows 10 in the fall, I think.
And I can see that yeah. working really well just from the standpoint of, I assume, and this might be like the worst assumption ever, but the bad guy role in that game, I assume PC players are going to be way more into than console players, just because it would yeah. be way easier to play that sort of game on a PC.
Yeah.
And the console players, I assume, are going to have way more fun on a third-person type of romp where they can run around shooting things.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that makes sense.
It fits pretty well with both consoles and having them actually communicating with each other.
Yeah, I know they mentioned that one, Gigantic and yeah. Killer Instinct,
yeah.
number ones. But
yeah, and Gigantic looks pretty slick to me.
I was pretty excited for Gigantic. I saw that, I'm like, now that's something I can sink my teeth into. This yeah. looks yeah. this looks great.
I mean, it is another in a slew of very similar games that are coming out, but it definitely seems like it has more personality than a lot of them, and it'll be nice having one that will definitely have a console version, mm-hmm. whereas a lot of the ones that seem to have a ton of personality are just for PC, which doesn't help me out very much.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and then can't forget the I think the bomb that was dropped was that when people were saying like, oh, the biggest surprise, you know, Sony revealing like remake for Final Fantasy VII, like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but... I'm sure I can speak for a lot of people. I would never, like, backwards compatibility was like
yeah.
the farthest from my mind at all. Like I thought yeah. with all the remasters that companies are putting out, like
mm-hmm.
that's over with. Like
yeah.
backwards compatibility is done. Yeah. And then for them to come out and say like, yeah, you can play your 360 games on your Xbox One was like, what?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was a surprise. I mean.
Yeah, and to be able to, that night, I grabbed Alien Hominid and was playing it on my Xbox One. That was kind of cool.
I jumped into Mass Effect again for a few minutes just because I'm like, yes. I copied my games into the cloud, downloaded, they synced over to the One, like I expected them to.
Yeah.
And it, I guess that was, to me, the biggest thing. Like, it's in, like, it's early stages beta. If you're in the preview program,
right,
and then you have to also be have the games that they have. They only have like 16 someone games right now.
Yeah,
for all those people hating on the fact that there's only 16 games right now, it's just right now. They're only
yeah.
starting.
Yeah, yeah, there were entire news articles written about that. Like, oh, I can't believe they're only giving people like 16 games. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
This was just like a complete and total surprise out of no place.
Yeah, yeah. If this is something like January they talked about, like, oh, yeah, we're going to have backwards compatibility, you know, coming. And then it's like, okay, 16 games. Like, okay, I can understand being frustrated now. But yeah, if it's instantly.
That was
yeah,
so
you could do it
weird.
Right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was. But.
I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of the articles that I ended up reading that had things along those lines ended up having retractions within like a day or so. Like, oh, sorry, we got it wrong. It's going to be like 100. But yeah, it was still how quickly people want to jump at Microsoft's throat is always funny to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I think the other big thing too that I didn't hear a whole lot about from others, but the essentially early access on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, right now it's only two games, but I mean,
Yeah, that's okay. It's and it's not just that. It's the they're kind of opening the floodgates to making the Xbox One into more of a PC experience because they also they ended up inviting the Fallout guys over to do a presentation, and the main thing was that, well, we're going to have free mods on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a huge deal. No console has ever had that. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that. PS3 had it for Unreal Tournament.
Yeah.
But it's almost unheard of.
Nearly unprecedented.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only, like you, Unreal Tournament, that's like the only one we can think of right now that's like a genuine mod. Taken from ripped from the PCs and shoved into a console. It's like craziness.
But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that ends up flexing through a lot of other games too. Because I mean, the guys from Fallout were happy to admit that, well, we're going to try and do this for everybody.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's built in to begin with for Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just that whole with the Windows 10 idea
of it,
essentially creating this kind of cross-platform with everything so that developers who make a game, you know, on PC with Windows 10 can easily just port it straight over to Xbox One if they want to.
Right.
Like, yeah, the one Windows as the kind of the tagline they've been going with.
Yeah, I think it's Microsoft is sort of finally getting out there to people that like, "Hey, we're trying to make this easier for everybody." You know, that it seemed definitely Sony latched on to, you know.
And it kind of makes me wonder, too, if that's one of the reasons why they suddenly decided to make a push for backwards compatibility, just because they knew, like, for Sony, it's a definite weak point, because right now they're trying to hawk a couple of services that nobody's happy with the prices for, and it's overly complicated. Nobody's completely satisfied on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And add to that that their last console had an insane processor that broke up the game into like 30 different chunks that had to be like replastered together in completely insane ways, which made development for it insane, which made it tougher for that cycle. But beyond that, it makes it so they can never do the same thing anywhere near as effectively for like their current generation of console.
Yeah.
And so now Microsoft can just do it.
And I think, too, if I don't know if third-party developers will go this way, but in a way, Microsoft has kind of created like a second revenue for them with 360 games, because if they went like, especially if they wanted to kind of knock out the used market or at least target that, if they like knocked their digital games down for $10, $15 or something like that,
right?
You know, 360 games, I mean, that's like a huge thing that you can promote, like, hey, you can play this gigantic library of older games, but if you're
still
like
good games.
If you're buying like an Xbox One new, you know, holiday or something like that,
you
can get like all these, you can play all these 360 games on there, and then the third parties would get, instead of like if someone went and bought a used copy at GameStop or something like that, where they wouldn't see any of that money,
right?
They'd get that money directly, you know. It's like, I think Microsoft takes some of it from the store, you know, I don't know.
There's percentages traded around, but they'll get more than zero.
Yeah, it would be a way for them. Plus, I'm curious, too, if they'll start to throw in, like, 360 games into EA Access.
Oh.
That's a possibility.
But I don't know
actually,
how...
that's one thing that I wanted to mention was, not necessarily for EA, but, Anyway, the new Siege, like, Tom Clancy game.
Rainbow Six Siege?
Yeah, they ended up pushing it, which is unfortunate, but what they did announce that I haven't noticed anybody talking about was that now it's going to come with free on the Microsoft version of it.
Oh,
it's going to come with like Vegas and Vegas 2, because of the backwards compatibility thing.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like a freebie. So it makes me wonder if that's going to end up being part of it also. Like newer games trying to throw some of their older games
yeah.
or at least get people caught up on the narrative or something like that.
Fallout, I think, is the same way. It's coming
okay.
with Fallout 3.
Fallout 4.
Is, yeah. I remember them mentioning at the, I can't remember if it was the Bethesda
okay.
one mm-hmm. or at Microsoft's, like, you know.
I think it was Bethesda.
That could end up being a big thing, in my view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that it's really a it's a nice virtualization layer inside the system, like you're running a 360 inside of a one, is just
yeah.
kind of nuts.
It was cool seeing, yeah. like, the actual 360 window. I mean, like, they have sort of a weird way of getting to it, but it's not tough to do or anything like that. But yeah, it's really funny seeing the actual 360 menu popping up for being able to swap games out and everything.
Yeah.
And turn on the 360 game, and it actually does, like, the 360 boot up
screen.
The screen.
I saw that. I looked at that, and I'm like, oh, that just makes me smile.
That was a pretty good
dumb,
geek out
makes
moment.
Me smile.
Yeah. Oh, and then that Elite controller. I mean, I can't afford it, but man, that thing looks really cool.
Okay.
It's kind of wicked looking.
I was ready to write it off just because its main selling point is the paddles on the bottom, and not to mention that it has like little upgrades in quality here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the entire thing's reprogrammable, so mm-hmm. I was just trying to figure out, like, okay, what would I be able to use all of this stuff for in order to make it worth its while?
Yeah.
And so I was kind of in that mind frame, and then I start seeing these articles, and there's been a couple of them that I've read so far that, like, the title makes it sound like, oh, I can't believe the people trying to sell us, like, a $150 controller. It makes it sound like they're really, like, angry at Microsoft. And then you read the article, and it turns out by the end that they were a complete and total convert and that they want one, like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started paying a little bit more attention.
Because
I could practically see, like, the PlayStation fanboy, like, draining out of them as the article read on. It was pretty fun. But, yeah, the biggest thing that was pointed out was a lot of games have some sort of move that's awkward, that it needs an extra button
yeah.
that the controllers don't have, that it makes it that much more difficult to do. With Call of Duty games, it's the melee. You do a melee, you have to kind of drop everything. It takes away from
yeah.
your control.
Mm-hmm.
It really fouls things up. And so as powerful as it is, being able to do like a quick kill like that, does screw things up pretty badly.
Yeah.
And same thing with any sort of, well, whenever you're running in a Call of Duty game, it's not near as bad, but you have to click down on the controller in order to move, which takes away from your control a little bit.
Yeah.
If you don't have to mess with your fingers at all and are just like hugging the controller a little bit tighter in order to get what you want out of it,
mm-hmm.
you end up being able to do those controls seamlessly without interrupting your gameplay at all. And that's when it sort of started to click. Like, I'm reasonably sure I could do some pretty crazy stuff in Destiny, like doing all of the fly around moves and everything if I managed to rig that thing up right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it'll be interesting. It makes it, also, again, going back to what Microsoft's kind of bringing together, the PC and the Xbox, it's like it's another twist on that dial, bringing the difference between them closer together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not zero, but it's closer than it has been in ages.
Oh yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, and there was still a ton of stuff that we couldn't
so much
cover,
to talk about.
Yeah.
But to wrap us up, like, your favorite thing from it, either game or announcement or something you're looking forward to, or
I'm going to say mine is definitely Horizon.
Okay.
And it's the thing that I like about it too is that it's like farther down the line, so it gives me some time to put together some money for PlayStation 4.
Fair enough.
So it becomes a long-term goal of mine.
I am going to go with Mass Effect Andromeda, just because more Mass Effect is always more good in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
plus, it looks so good.
Yeah, I wish there was more to it.
I'm like, this trailer's too short.
Teaser trailer.
The one thing that I did see from a little article, just to warn you, apparently that character is not the main character.
I am at peace with this.
Well, it's not supposed to be a dig or anything. It just, it makes it sound like it might be something along the lines of the way that they're setting up the story with like Master Chief versus the newer characters in the Halo series, is that it might be something that you're kind of chasing after somebody.
Mm.
And so that might be the character that we're seeing in the cutscenes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I look forward. I mean, at least they gave a holiday next year.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, that there is at least a tentative goal for whether when the release is.
Yeah.
And a whole nother galaxy sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just excited to see what sci-fi fluff they'll use to transport us around the galaxy, just because that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
How about you, Joe? What?
Oh, man. That's so tough. There's so much. There's so much that's actually coming out this year. So that's what I'm trying to like focus on. Like,
Fair enough. What
can I actually touch this year? Because there's actually a lot. So.
I'm going to tell you what yours is.
Okay, what is it?
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it was.
it looked really good.
It was like, oh man, yeah, because it's so hard. It's like that Fallout 4 and
yeah.
I like was excited for Halo 5, but man, after that like opening trailer thing, I was like, oh, I want that even more now. But yeah, and then like Battlefront,
Star Wars Battlefront. I saw that. I'm like,
there's just so much stuff.
Everyone wins with that one.
My
wallet
is gonna hate me, but yeah, I'll go with Tomb Raider.
You can't go too wrong with that.
Was number two on my top 10 list thing. So, all right, that's gonna do it for us. For our E3 coverage, so much stuff we talked about and so much stuff we missed. But so
it's a big conference.
Oh, yeah. So tell us what we missed that you're excited about.
Yes.
Or even maybe we talked about it and you are also excited or you want to yell at us like,
right.
No, Sony did win.
Right.
You guys are losers.
We didn't say Sony didn't win.
Exactly. But I'm just saying that's what they're thinking. But Caleb, how
I don't care about gamers. Sony won.
Sony won.
If you want to air your opinions or grievances, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are the two most active ways to get in touch with us. After that, the next best thing is...
if you're in a passive-aggressive mood...
potentially. Go to, you can hit us up at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you want one place for all things Robots Attack, one place for all the contacts, robotsattack.me. Robotsattack.me is our own website. We have archives of the show. We also have links to stories and stuff that we talk about when we're not focused on like an event like E3.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And you can get it in contact with us through that as well. It's good times.
Yep. And share it with a friend. If you know somebody, like, hey, these guys are cool.
Yeah.
All right. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and we will talk to you next time. All right. Take it easy, everybody. You're listening to KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Raccoon, Baronin, Mixto.